Please turn to Genesis in your Bibles, the 32nd chapter, and we'll be reading the verses 24 through 29. Page 48 in your Schofield Reference Bible, Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 29. We'll read the verses responsively, and shall we all please stand for the reading of this passage? The 29th verse will be the text verse, and you will note that as we read it together in a little while. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And let's pray. And Father, bless us in this place. Today we pray for thy help, thy Spirit's power here in our midst and amongst us. We thank you that we have the word, the truth. We thank you that we have a preacher who preaches it. And now we've come to this place and some over many miles. And we pray that thou wouldst truly meet the needs of the hour and of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
You'll have to listen carefully and I'll have to speak quickly. So I'll ask the absolute no moving around now. Everyone finds your places quickly. Because of the Lord's Supper, and we're, as always, this particular Sunday morning, we're a bit late. And I want to reread for you without your bothering to turn to it, one verse. And it said, And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. I want to speak to you for a while, just a brief while, on the subject, and he blessed him there. I want you to notice it did not say, and he blessed him. It said, and he blessed him there. That was one particular place where God could bless Jacob, and only one. And God blessed him there. Let's bow our heads, please. Everyone find a seat now. Everybody finding a seat, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to this brief moment. My, for a preacher that preaches an hour usually, to put that down in 20 minutes is not easy, and I'll have to hurry, and I pray the folks will listen intently. We've got to be fed, we've got to be instructed and exhorted and edified, and yes, even in some cases rebuked. So bless us now in these moments together. Amen. 20 years ago, this month, my name went on the bulletin of the First Baptist Church as becoming the pastor. I recall the first day, first Sunday I came here and as pastor of the church. It was not made or built for me. At least it did not seem that way. The auditorium that we had in those days was a beautiful auditorium, but it was not a Hiles-ish auditorium. It was a beautiful old building. It was built back in 1913, I think it was. And it was built in the days when the churches had a certain type of architecture. There were stained glass windows on the side. I recall one had a picture of Jesus with the staff in his arm and a little sheep or lamb beside him. I recall another had a picture, I think, of Solomon's head of Christ, at least somebody's concept of what Jesus looked like. And then up in the top of the building, right in the middle, was a big dome, and that dome was also stained glass. And there was up in that dome, there were written three words, God is light. And it's a good thing that God is light, because there was no light in that auditorium. We called it a sanctuary in those days. We didn't know any better. We didn't know that the sanctuary is a place where God dwells, and as in the temple. And we did not know in those days when the Bible said the Lord is in his holy temple. It's talking about the Shekinah glory back in the Old Testament days. We did not completely understand now that the church building is not a temple, but the body of the believer is the temple. But anyway, it was rather dark. The first thing we did was go up, one of the first things, go up in the balcony and put some fluorescent lighting up in the balcony, try to lighten up the auditorium. And I didn't feel at home. I really didn't. I was a long ways from home. It wasn't like me. We had some, instead of these nice little comfortable chairs like we have, little miniature pews we have here on the platform, we had tall chairs, straight back chairs. About the back was about that high, and you sat there. I felt like King Lear on his throne, and it wasn't like me. It wasn't bright enough, and the area here, I'm sure you may have noticed. Most of you perhaps have not. You may have noticed, but Palm Springs Palm Beach has a few little extra beauty that Sibley Street does not have. I doubt if you've noticed that, but if you've looked carefully, perhaps you've noticed that. And I was from Dallas, Texas. They have something down there in that area. I don't know what it's called. I used to remember what it's called. It's a big round thing. It's sort of yellow or gold, and it's in the sky. It comes up in the east down there and sets over in the west. And it visits here about one day a year. But I was used to real sunshiny weather. And we didn't have any steel mills down there either, by the way. And I wasn't at home, and I wanted to go back. And I had eight different churches that asked me to come back and be their pastor in Texas. And I wanted to go back, and I was so homesick, and I didn't know what to do. So I grabbed me a bunch of prospect cards, and I took one off the top. And it said, Mrs. Laura Seibert. I think it said 509. It may have said 517. Detroit Street. And I didn't know where Detroit Street was. I asked somebody, got me a map of the area, and found out that Detroit Street was down here in this section of town, down near Highland Street, and not far from the park, park down here on Holman. And I went down and found Detroit Street. I rode down Detroit Street till I came to Mrs. Seibert's house, went up and knocked on the door. By the way, Mrs. Seibert's the mother of Mrs. Ron Perkey. Ron was a deacon here. And he's now pastor of a church in Grass Lake, Michigan. I went up, knocked on the door. Mrs. Seibert came to the door, a middle-aged lady, a very attractive middle-aged lady with prematurely white hair and looked like a real fashionable kind of a society lady. But she was going to the Civic Center. There was something going on there of a social nature, and she was on her way. And I said, Mrs. Seibert, I'm Pastor Hiles, a pastor of First Baptist Church. And before I finished saying it, I began to cry. I was so homesick, absolutely, I couldn't help but cry, and I began to cry. And there I stood saying, I'm Pastor Hiles from First Baptist Church. And God bless her, she had some pity on me, I guess. And so I said, could I talk to you? She said, no, I'm sorry, but I've got to go. I'm going to the Civic Center. And I said, please, let me talk to you. I'm just a new pastor at First Baptist Church, and I said, let me talk to you just for a minute. Well, God bless her, she had mercy on me. Okay, if you'll hurry. And I said, Mrs. Seibert, do you know that you're saved? And she said, no. And I said, would you like to know? Well, she said, let me just tell you. It won't take long. I can tell you how to go to heaven when you die. And she, I've got to go. But I went ahead and told her anyway. I'm sort of that way. And I went ahead and told her anyway. And after I told her, she said, now I must go. And I said, before you go, could I have a prayer with you? And she said, well, if you'll hurry, I've got to go. And so I put my hand on the screen door so she couldn't close it. And I began to pray. And I said, dear Lord, this lady needs to be saved, and I pray you'd help her to get saved today. I wasn't crying because I was burdened for her. I was crying because I was burdened for me. And all of a sudden, I felt a tear on my hand right there. Now, I'm not very smart, but I figured out it wasn't my tear because tears don't go that way. They go that way. And I, by the process of elimination, I knew it wasn't my tear, and so I thought, since she's the only one left, it must be hers. I looked up, and I saw a moistened eye, and I saw a quivering lip. And I said, Mrs. Seibert, would you pray? And she prayed, oh, God, save me. And I do receive Jesus as my Savior. And, how happy I was. And I came back down here to Sibley Street. All these beautiful houses on Sibley Street. Everything was okay. Somebody had taken these houses, old beat-up houses, on Sibley Street and put castles down here. And you know what they had done? That dome up there in the church was just gorgeous. I'd never seen anything like it. And I love dark auditoriums all of a sudden. And this chair up here, this chair was just exactly a fit for me. And everything was all right. You know why? Because I was where God wanted me to be. And God blessed me there. You know where Jacob was when God blessed him there? The Bible says God blessed him there. Where? He blessed him where God wanted him. There's only one place in the entire world where God wants you. I heard somebody say one time, well, there are 10 different places you could be, any one of which will be okay with God. Now, you've got a hole in your head. That won't do it. There's only one place. There's only one place you're supposed to be. There's only one house you're supposed to live in. There's only one man for you or one woman for you. There's only one job for you. God blessed him there. Where? God blessed him. Where was this place where God blessed Jacob? Well, in the first place, it's a place where he was crippled. He got crippled as soon as he got there. The Bible said that he wrestled with God, and his thigh got a joint, and Jacob had a limp the rest of his life. Now, if it had been me, and I'd gotten to the place and gotten crippled as soon as I got there, I'd have said, oh, boy, I missed the will of God. Got in the wrong place. Must not be God's will. I got sick as soon as I got here. No, God blessed him there. Where was it? The place where he got crippled as soon as he got there. Was crippled the rest of his life. Where was the place where God blessed him there? It was an ugly place. You ought to see Bethel. Bethel is a place, a heap of stones. Actually, they say that stones grow there. Down in Haran, where he had been living for 20 years, where God did not bless him. Beautiful. Did you know Haran was down close to where the Garden of Eden was located? Down that tropical climate, close to the Mediterranean Sea, down in Mesopotamia, that beautiful, beautiful place near where the Garden of Eden was, we think, and that's where for 20 years he had lived. And he lived in a Hawaiian-like atmosphere and a Southern California-type atmosphere and a South Florida kind of atmosphere. And there he became wealthy, but God didn't bless him there. And there he found the woman in the world that he wanted for himself, but God didn't bless him there. And there he had servants of all kinds, but God didn't bless him there. And there he had riches and good health and robust health, but God didn't bless him there. It was not till Jacob came to the barren place called Bethel, the one place in the world where God wanted Jacob, that God blessed him there. It was not till Jacob got crippled and limped around the rest of his life that God blessed him there. It was when Jacob left his riches and came to poverty and left his health and came to illness and left beautiful climate and came to a rocky, barren place called Bethel. God blessed him there. There's only one place that God's going to bless you, and that's the place where God has for you. God often takes the rich man from his palace and puts him in the cottage and dresses him there. God often takes a strong man from his vigor and places him on a sick bed, but God blesses him there. God often takes a man of security and assurance and brings him to a state of anxiety, and then God blesses him there. God often brings the busy man to a place of patient suffering, but God blesses him there. He takes the man of good repute and allows his name to be withered with the warm, hot, lashing tongue of some scandalous person, and yet God blesses him there. God has a place for you. God has a service for you. God has a house for you. God has a city for you, and there's no way you can be blessed of God unless you find it. I've seen the world. I've seen the world. There's very little of the world I haven't seen. I've been to East Texas, West Texas, North Texas, and South Texas. And I have seen the world. Where I grew up, a Yankee was a fellow who lived in North Texas. But I've seen the world. I've been to Europe. I've been to the Orient. I've been to every state in this country. I've preached, I guess, in every state, maybe with the exception of one in this country. I've preached in 17 different foreign countries. I've been to the Caribbean. I've been to Alaska. I've been to, I've been to most much of the world. I've wound my way through mountains as I did this past week as I drove higher and higher in the mountains of Northern California. And as I looked down and saw looked like God had dropped teardrops down, way down at the bottom of the mountains, a beautiful little still lake where the shepherd could find still waters by which to lead his sheep. And I wound through those mountains, and I looked up and saw God's mighty pyramids in the sky, and I've been there. I've seen the most beautiful places in the whole world. I have seen palm trees stand at attention and dress right dress and march in ranks in the city of Palm Beach, Florida, as I've driven down through that city and seen those palm trees that must be trying to line up each with the other and form a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous sight. I have followed the mountain stream as it tiptoed down the Rocky Mountains, and I've followed that little winding stream toward its toward the bottom of the mountains. I have shaved, staring at God's watery mirrors he calls lakes. I have counted the western stars and listened to the coyote's evening prayer out west. I have felt the breezes, the gorgeous Garden of Eden that has been transplanted in the Pacific Ocean called Hawaii. I have watched from the Northern California deer play leapfrog across the highway. I have seen the beautiful, gorgeous lakes of Minnesota. I've seen the painted desert. I've looked at the Grand Canyon as the pilot would fly low and bend the airplane so we could look down and see the Grand Canyon, almost could reach down and touch it. I've seen the mighty redwood forest. I've seen the gorgeous Rocky Mountains. I've looked at the Sangre de Cristo with their beauty. I've been in the Alleghenies, and I've looked at the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, and I've been at the beautiful tropics of the world. I've fished in the Caribbean. I've been down to the Caribbean islands. I've seen much of the world. Would you like to know the most beautiful spot in the world to me? When you get off the toll road out here and turn off on Calumet Street, and as you drive down Calumet and see those early American tin cans as they're spread across the side, and as you see those nursery of weeds and stop and count the cars of a train, and as I turn off on Sibley Street here and see these old houses here on Sibley Street, I'm not just preaching, and I'm not exaggerating. You can have Hawaii. God doesn't bless me there. You can have the Adirondacks. God doesn't bless me there. You can have your balmy breezes. God doesn't bless me there. But the God in heaven who made the Adirondacks, the God in heaven who spoke and the Rocky Mountains leap forward, the God who wept and tears dropped in Minnesota and made 10,000 lakes, the God whose voice caused the sun to rise like the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, the God who spoke and stars dotted the heavens as God's heavenly evening chandelier made it so beautiful for us to enjoy, the God who made all that, he has one place for me, and this is it. Ah, to me, these aren't old apartment houses down Sibley Street. They're beautiful palaces. Don't call that soot we breathe. That's gold dust. It's where God wants me to be, and God blesses me there. It was a lonely island. An old man was there by himself, a barren kind of a place. His name was John the Beloved, and nobody else was there, but God blessed him there. It was a Roman prison where down in the inner dungeon the Apostle Paul spent his last days, in a damp, cold place awaiting the sharpening of the knife of the guillotine so Paul's head could be severed from his body. And Paul was there the last days of his life, but it was God's will for his life, and God blessed him there. And most of the New Testament was written from that little dark dungeon. Why? That's where God wanted Paul. It was a rat-infested cell in Bedford, England, where John Bunyan spent 12 years of his life in prison for preaching on the streets and for his stand for the gospel of Christ. But God blessed him there. It was where God wanted John Bunyan to be. And it was there that he took the milk bottle stoppers off milk delivered to his room and penned the immortal Pilgrim's Progress, the second bestseller in all the world, next only to the book I hold in my hand now. It was there where God blessed John Bunyan. Listen, lady, tell you something. Palm trees are nice to see, but if God doesn't want you neath palm trees, he won't bless you there. And nice tropical breezes are nice to feel, but if God does not want you neath tropical breezes, and to feel them, God will not bless you there. And high, lofty mountains with their snow cap may be beautiful to see, but if God does not want you beneath those snow-capped mountains, God won't bless you there. Oh, this marvelous place where I stand right now, where I walk every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and where I've stood and preached hour upon hour upon hour, as you well know, God has blessed me. This is the place where God wants me to be. Of all of the world this morning, God wants me right here. And of all this universe this morning, God wants me right here. Why? God blesses me here. That's why. And it's the will of God for my life. You will never be happy. It doesn't matter if you pick the fruit off the orange groves of Florida. You won't be happy there unless God blesses you there. And if you feel the balmy breezes of the Caribbean, and it's not where God wants you, God won't bless you there. And if you enjoy the winding trails of Hawaii, and eat the pineapple grown in Hawaii, and God, it is not God's will for your life, God won't bless you there. Oh, the theme song of every single child of God ought to be only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. I wouldn't give you a dime for all of Southern California compared to Hammond, Indiana. I mean that. I guess in my wiser moments and more sane moments, I guess I realize that this place is not the scenic spot of the world. I've never seen anybody taking pictures of those tin cans that lie in Calumet Street. I've never seen anybody make a bouquet out of those weeds over there that grow along the river and that tin can depository they call a river flowing down through this area. I've never seen anybody stop and gasp and say, "Oh, how beautiful!" I've never seen anybody in any of these little places where you get off the highway and stop your car and have a scenic view. I've never seen that anywhere in this area. Ah, but it's God's will to me. It's God's place where God wants me. Listen, honestly, I see the world. I fly around this country and around this world. But to me, the sweetest drive I know is the drive that comes into the Calumet region. And I guess the most contented I ever feel in my life, I'm talking about now geographical contentment, is when I drive across this parking lot over here and look across the street and see this building. Ah, there's a certain security I get and a certain peace I get and a certain strength I get. Why? God blesses me there. It was just a small hill outside Jerusalem. And there was a cross on that hill, and it was prepared for my Savior. But God blessed him there. That was why he came. That was the purpose of Jesus' life on earth. He did not come to show us how to die. He came to die for us. He did not come to show us how to live. He came to give his life for us. And there on Golgotha, when he said, "It's finished," no wonder he said it was his glory. God blessed him there. It was a lion's den. And there was a Hebrew boy or lad there. And the lions were hungry for several days, but it was the will of God for Daniel, and God blessed him there. It was a fiery furnace where three Hebrew children were thrown, and yet God blessed them there. It was the will of God. Did you know, beloved friend, before there was ever a foundation poured for this world, God had a plan for your life? I said this morning to my Sunday school class, I always pray every morning, "Lord, what should I wear today? What should I wear today?" Brother Fisk used to see me and said, "You didn't pray about that outfit, did you?" And I shipped him off. And I pray every morning, "Dear Lord, which way should I drive to church?" I never get in my car, but I stop just for a second and say, "Lord, what route today?" I believe, and I mean this, I believe God has tomorrow morning when I come to church, I believe God has a certain route He wants me to take. And I believe when I go home after a while, God has a certain path He wants me to drive. And I believe tomorrow morning, God has a certain shirt He wants me to wear. The other one. This one will be dirty. And I believe God has a certain shirt He wants me to wear. I believe God has a certain house where He wants me to live. I believe God has a certain place. And I believe that's the only place where I can know the sweet, wonderful blessings of God. God blessed him there. Did you know before the New Jerusalem was ever begun, the place where we live forever, God had a plan and an outline for your life? Did you know this little boy down here that hopes I'll get through in a minute because he wants to go home and have some lunch? Did you know, son, that God has a plan for your life? those little feet, one of them which is going like this right now, which just stopped. Did you know? Did you know those little feet will never put themselves down on a ground or a floor? But what God does not have a place where God wants those feet put. Did you know every word that comes out of that little mouth of yours, God wants to tell you what to say? Listen, if we could ever stop and realize that the great designer of the universe has designed for every one of us. God has a plan, and God has a place, and God has a way, and there's nobody ever happy unless he's in that plan. I'm 52 years of age. I'll be 53 September 25th. That's September 25th. You ought to take notes while I preach. That's September 25th. I'll be 53 years of age. I know I don't look it. I know I appreciate it. I always feel that wave of doubt and disbelief that sweeps across this house like a prairie fire when I tell my age. I know that. But I'll be 53. From the day that I was born in Italy, Texas. And at a year of age was moved to Dallas. To that little two-room shack we had out on Ann Arbor Street with an outhouse and a wood stove and a dipper and a bucket of water. To this day, I do not believe I've ever spent one day where God did not want me to be. Did you hear what I said? I've had the blessed consciousness from childhood that I was in the perfect will of God for my life. And God has blessed me there. God loves you today, and God has a design for your life. That's what it means. And all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let me give you what that really means. All things fit the design. All things fit the plan. All things fit God's pattern. And they work together for your good. Brother Sullivan was meant to be in the hospital this morning. When I went to the hospital to see Linda Wednesday night after church, she'd been having high fever. We've been so worried about her. I looked up and saw that little scar on her forehead and remembered. I said, Linda, remember that? I said, you were on your tricycle on the front porch, and your tricycle fell off the front porch and you fell and hit some weeds there. Not weeds, but well, they're weeds if they're outside, out of a yard, any yard, they're plants. And there was a thorn on one of them, and Linda fell down there and cut a little, and you'll notice it's still there. And I said something about that. And then I felt this. It's God's will for some reason that you suffer. If God wants to take the baby, that's his plan. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, blessed be God. It's a wonderful thing to snuggle up in the middle of God's will. And then hang on to Romans 8:28 and squeeze a fire out of it. It's a wonderful thing. And God bless him. There. There. Heavenly Father,